Hello. Welcome to Live Well Lifestyle with Perry A. And our topic today is honest communications. Before we begin, I would like to let you know about something that's kind of hard for me to talk about. As you know, since we sold the Living Clay Company, I've maintained the Bentonite Clay Info site myself and continued having the teleseminars, and that's where you sign up for the Live Well seminars. And the other day I put the pencil to it, and I'm spending over $3,500 a year in fees for all the different components that go to mailing out and having a web presence and doing the seminars. And so I've put a, though I consider my site a free site and I don't charge for any of my services, I was encouraged by some members to put a contribution button there, and you can donate $3, you can do it one time, or you can do it monthly, or you cannot do it. It's volunteer, and I won't know the difference, but several people have contributed to it, and it helps me with the expenses. It runs almost $300 a month, and so I'm very appreciative if you feel like going there and contributing anything, and if not, please continue to listen and receive the gift that I give without any concern. So, on to today's topic, honest communication, and that's sort of what I just did. I was hesitant to do it. I didn't want to say it. I don't like asking for handouts, so. But it was my honest thought, and you can take it or leave it. The relationship you are now in is a reflection of every other relationship you have ever had, and your partner represents everyone who has ever hurt you in your life. And then there is the conscious version of your fairy tale. So what we're talking about today is how, if you've ever been hurt in a relationship, the next person comes along, you're looking to see if they're anything like the last one, because you don't want to get hurt again. So you really have a pretty high criteria list for them before you feel comfortable to go out with them or to get in a relationship with them. And this topic was suggested by one of our listeners not long ago. I asked if you all had any topic you would like to suggest. I was sort of running out of ideas. And she recommended this, and here's her comments. She shared this experience. My husband and I have been married for 40 years. It's my second marriage. My first marriage was a nightmare, and it was a challenge to let go of the emotional baggage and not allow it to cloud my second marriage. For example, I had a difficult time feeling comfortable sharing my thoughts and feelings, as that was never a good idea in my first marriage. My second husband was different from my first husband, thankfully, but old habits die hard. The conscious version is, my second husband said something to me, though, that changed everything. He sat me down, pulled a chair up so that our knees touched, and he took my hands in his and said, I love you. You say you love me. Love me enough to tell me the truth. And that opened up the channel for real honest communication that quickly became the foundation of our marriage. I'm not sure our marriage would have survived otherwise. It's wonderful to give someone permission to be real with us. I thought that was a beautiful story, and I could really relate to it. And think about what causes you not to be truthful with another person. Not feeling safe to express your true feelings, feeling you're going to be judged or criticized, regardless of your response. Not wanting to hurt another people's feelings, thus the need to please. And not wanting to be wrong. And there's so many other little things that pop up about why we aren't honest, the little white lies, thinking I'll hurt somebody's feeling if I tell them the truth. So how many little white lies do we tell thinking that it's the kind thing to do? Or you just don't want to get caught having done something wrong? Byron Katie says, reality is always kinder than thoughts. So you really think you know more than God, what other people need. You know, I have learned in life that there are no regrets, that everything happened is in divine order, and it's a connection to, we're all connected, and what I say to somebody and how they take it is a teacher. It will bring up something for them, maybe not something I intended, but if it does bring up something for them, that's something they need to look at and work on in themselves. So for example, if a wife says, honey, does this dress make me look fat? An honest, safe answer would be, darling, I'd love you if you wore a gunny sack. I would pick whichever one makes you feel comfortable. Now, he didn't have to make a statement and risk hurting her feelings one way or the other. And he led her to her own decision. Which ones are you comfortable in? And so many times we dress to impress others and we want to look good. And we forget about the important things of, if I'm comfortable in what I'm wearing, I can be real. And if I'm uncomfortable in it, what's good of having it? So, like our listener, I had a challenging first marriage. He was controlling, judgmental, and domineering. He spoke his mind, and I was the pleaser, not a good combination. Now, I have to admit that some of those traits are what I admired in him. I like the fact that he took control of a situation and that he would be a protector. He was a good provider. He was a good father. He had other good traits. But sometimes he was very hard to live with, and I didn't realize it at the time. But now I can see that on our honeymoon, he was establishing ground rules. We got into a big argument over a professor that he didn't like and I did like. We could not agree to disagree. He would not let it drop. After 3 days, I relinquished my opinion for the sake of peace and sanity. I just didn't want to have my whole honeymoon spoil with fighting over who liked what professor was good or why he liked them and why I didn't. Another tactic would be he would ask me where I'd like to go to eat. And at first I would be honest and tell him, and no matter where we went, when we got there, he would find something to complain about. The food, the service, little things that spoil the evening. After a while, I relinquished my choice to choose and said, wherever you want to go is fine with me. See the pleasing pattern? I began to feel like I could never get anything right. So to make peace, I quit being totally honest. And that's how it begins. One time when he was busy with planting, we were farmers and it was wheat planting season, we had a plumbing problem. So I called our plumber that we'd always used to fix it. I was so proud to tell him that I had taken care of the emergency without bothering him. He asked, who did you use? I replied, well, I called Ace. He shouted, why did you call him? I said in defense, because I thought that's who we always used. His response was, well, if I want you to think, I'll pay you to think. And then he stormed out the door. Of course, it was in the height of planting season. He had been out in the fields all day, a lot of challenges, and I could see a lot of excuses for it, so I let it go. After the divorce, I did not want another relationship. My goal was to be able to take care of myself. I had never worked before, and my parents were dead, so this, you know, was a challenge. I wanted to be able to take care of myself. I had a few boyfriends, but when it got serious, I was out of there until a special person came along who wouldn't take no for an answer. I tried to discourage it when he got serious. I gave him a survey of 22 questions, all based on my past relationship, to see if we were compatible. I was ruthless. I said, "What do you see as our biggest differences?" His answer was, "My shoe size, it's a 13D. And I said, "What do you do about dust on the top of the refrigerator?" My husband was tall and I was short, and I could never see the top of the refrigerator, much less reach it. And he was always coming in, wiping his fingers on the top of the refrigerator and saying, "When are you going to get dust the refrigerator?" And, you know, I didn't have the wherewithal to say, "Well, here's a towel. Since you're tall and you can see it, how about doing it for me?" Instead, I let it hurt my feelings. But his answer was, "I don't let it accumulate." And I said, "Do you like to cuddle?" And the answer was, "Try and stop me and I'll tickle you." So he answered all the questions with humor and I laughed so hard. That was the beginning of a long romantic courtship. He understood my reluctances. He had the wisdom. He would ask a question, and if I said, he would say, "Is that a yes or a no, or I heard you and I'm thinking about it?" And, of course, it was always, "I heard you and I'm thinking about it." So he opened the space for honest communication, and I learned to give an honest yes or no. "The teacher is the person that you are living with," says Byron Katie. The people in your lives, the people that punch your buttons, are the ones showing you where to go and work on what you need to love and honor yourself. I'm grateful for hubby, for number one, for teaching me to no longer choose to walk on eggshells in a relationship, and to have that deep desire to financially take care of myself and be independent. Most of us spend less than 15 minutes in total intimacy. Here is an exercise to practice total intimacy with another person. In a quiet, undisturbed room, sit facing your partner, and it doesn't have to be a loving relationship. It can be a girlfriend or boyfriend. You can practice this with anybody. Sit knee to knee. The exercise is done with your eyes open and at all time looking into the eyes of your partner. No smiling, no physical gestures from you. You people who just want to be loved and like to kind of manipulate by winking and smiling and, you know, win you over some way. Just straight-faced, eye-to-eye contact, sending love to the other person. Notice if you want to giggle or laugh out loud. It's very hard for some of us to get into total intimacy, and the ego is afraid of true intimacy. Just keep trying. Go ahead and laugh, let the laugh out, and try looking at person again. I had my daughter do it with me, and she just could not look me in the eye without laughing. Or, you know, it took a while for her to calm down and feel safe enough to do it with me. Begin with the body relaxation process to ground yourself. Take slow, deep breaths and move your attention slowly through your entire body, releasing tension as you go. Breathe in deeply and exhale deeply. With every exhale, let go, relaxing the scalp, the forehead, the jaw, down through your shoulders, your arms, your chest, your abdomen, slowly through your whole body. Just breathe in deeply, and as you exhale, go to those points with intention of noticing any tension and letting it go. And when you start at the top of your head and you go down, it's just kind of like warm butter just flowing over your body, or honey, something like that. It just melts as you let go of the tension, and you don't realize how you hold it in your face and your jaw and your neck and your shoulders. And you want to breathe into those places, and when you breathe out, be conscious of relaxing and letting your shoulders drop. Many times we go around with our shoulders humped up in a defensive mood that really takes a lot of effort and pain. When you're fully relaxed and have full eye contact becomes comfortable, reach out and hold your partner's hand. Pull them close enough so that you hold hands and they can rest on your thighs. The lady will begin by saying their first name. For example, Ralph, I acknowledge you for absolute love that you have always had for me. After a moment, pause, and the partner will respond, thank you. As it feels comfortable and as the eye-to-eye connection steadily grows, repeat the statement again. Ralph, I acknowledge you for the absolute love you've always had for me. And his response, thank you. As it flows, you can continue to repeat the words many times until there is a rising calmness, a calming of the waters, and no more bottled emotion is felt. At this point, you may embrace your partner and then reverse the roles. The man will make the statement using their first name. Martha, I acknowledge you for the absolute love you've always had for me. And Martha will respond with, thank you. And you repeat that until the waters are calm. When you are complete, notice it feels safe for your little inner ones to come out and play. When you have completed the exercise, the light will reveal itself to you and you will know you are part of the light. There can be an experience of loving connectedness to you as you have chosen to exercise your ability to respond. There is no shortcut. Got it? No shortcut. It is a straight path that you must walk yourself. No one will carry you kicking and screaming into heaven. On that thought, you can do this in a room. You can do it to someone across the room that you don't even know that looks like they're having a hard time. My partner and I were in a room visiting, and a lady came in, and she was waiting for a companion, and you could tell she was frustrated. She was watching her watch and tapping her foot and crossing her arms, sitting there by herself just waiting. And, you know, no telling what was running through her mind, and she waited and waited, and we sat, and we thought, you know, when that poor sucker comes in, she's going to give him hell. And so we started sending her love, and we just kind of looked across the room. We didn't make eye contact with her. We just looked in her direction and kind of closed our eyes and just sent love to her, just drowning her in love. And gradually she uncrossed her arms and uncrossed her legs and sat down and kind of relaxed a little bit. And about that time, her boyfriend came in, and she just jumped up and grabbed him and gave him a hug and, you know, asked him what happened. And, of course, he had a good excuse for the delay. But that's how it's so easy to make the love connection. You can do it to people you don't even, not even in the room. You don't have to see them. You can send love to your children who are in a trying situation and know that they will have the wisdom to figure it out and come out right. Just send that intention to them and that love. And if we all do that, what a wonderful world it would be. Make it a world of love. Oftentimes I tip a waitress who has given me bad service because I think, you know, something horrible may have happened to her today and she's having a bad day. And do I ever have a bad day? Yeah. And I might tip her more than I usually would tip. And, you know, they get it. They know what they kind of service they gave, and you give them a bigger tip and it kind of makes them, oh, wow, how nice. Someone did something nice for me. So, and you're in essence sending love and hoping to open her up and that we pass the love forward. It's a pass it forward world. When someone does something nice for you, you want to do something nice for someone else. But the little white lies are what really get us. And it's funny how we do with little white lies. Yesterday I was playing dominoes with some ladies. I've just joined this domino group, and it's not regular dominoes. It's a different kind of game. And I'm just learning. And of course, I never went because I haven't figured out how to get rid of my high dominoes and quite how the game goes. And then I'll miss a play that cost me dearly. And so I finally won a game. Well, let me start with this. We started out with five players. And after a while, one of them had to leave, so we moved down to four players. So I had gone to the bathroom, and they had said, okay, let's draw 15 dominoes instead of 12 since she's gone. And I didn't hear that part, and I came in, and I drew my 12 dominoes. Well, naturally, I went out and won before the rest of them, and I was so excited, I jumped up and went, woohoo, woohoo, I finally won a game, yay, and I danced around the room acting silly. And they all laughed, and they said, boy, you went out early. Did you draw 15 dominoes? And I thought, I only drew 12 dominoes, and I didn't say a word. I just sat down, and I thought, oh, well, I deserve a win. I won't say anything. But as the day went on, I got thinking about it. At the end, I said, okay, girls, I have a confession to make. You know, when I got up and danced around the room, I started to ask, are we going to draw 15 dominoes now? But I was out of the room, and I guess I didn't hear it when someone said to, I drew 12 cards, so I didn't really win the hand. I didn't go out that quick. I had three dominoes left for the rest of you, and we laughed about it. And they said, okay, from now on, you're going to have to draw three extra dominoes. But we were teasing and didn't. But it felt good to confess it and say it. I said, you know, I'd made this little dance around the room, and I was so happy, and then to have to say, oh, no, I drew only 12 dominoes. So I kept it to myself. But then you can always go back and correct it and make it right. But it's little things like that. Think about when you're communicating, what you're saying. Is it really honest? And are you doing it to protect somebody's feelings? You don't want to hurt their feelings, so you're going to agree with them. You'll be pleasing. Maybe they need to hear a contrasting thought than their own thought. And it pays to be honest. And if they get mad and walk out on the relationship, you've been spared. You don't need to be with that person anyway. So that's what we've been talking about today, is honest communication. And if any of you have a similar situation or a story you want to tell, I would love to hear it. So I'm going to go over to the phone lines and see if anybody's on that would like to share a story. Or if you have a question or a story you would like to email from your computers, you can do that. Usually we don't get many people who connect from there. And I don't see any questions, and I don't see anyone who wants to ask a question. If you press star 2 on your phone, it'll open your line. And next month, I have invited a friend of mine who is, oh, here I have a speaker. Yes, this is Perry. Hi.
Oh, this is Alma from Baton Rouge. I'm late getting on. For one thing, one of your phone numbers doesn't, you know, one of the numbers listed when I dial it, I never can, there's silence. It says I'm added, but there's silence. So then I went to the other number, so I don't know what's with that.
Well, I'll look at it and see. I call in from a different number than y'all do.
Right.
So I'll have to go in. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just a quick thing. It was something you were talking about last week, and we were talking about the benefits of clay versus Epsom salts, and you were beginning to speak about how Epsom salt, clay is actually the action of it, particularly in a wound or something, is superior to Epsom salts. And I interrupted you because I was anxious to ask you another question, and I'm sorry, it's lightning thundering on my end. I hope you can hear. And anyway, I thought later, I wish I hadn't said anything and allowed you to finish. So I just wanted you to revisit that briefly on how clay's actions are really superior, you know, because I had mentioned, well, should we soak the, in this case it was a cat, you know, with a or actually it was a dog with a brown recluse spider wound. And I had asked, well, should we soak it in Epsom salts and then pack it with clay? And you said, no, the Epsom salts really wasn't necessary, that the clay would do the job. So I just wanted to just allow you to finish, you know, talking about the superiority of clay over the Epsom salts.
Okay. I'm going to take this call. This isn't the clay seminar. This is the Live Well seminar, but
oh, I am so sorry. I guess I got it
mixed
up.
That's all right. There are no accidents.
I've never done the Live Well seminar. I just saw your name and I thought it was the clay. I apologize.
No problem. I'm going to go ahead and take it because, and what I mean by superior, it may not be superior. Epsom salts has its uses and it's a good product. But clay is going to debride the wound. It's going to clean the wound of any infection. It's going to stop the pain. It almost always immediately is very soothing and cool. Even with a burn or a bite, it stops the itching or the irritation, and it draws out the toxins. And when it draws them out, it keeps it. Clay captures the toxins. It's pulled inside by this magnetic charge, and it'll just go down the drain, but it will stay in the clay. Clay has a 50-year lifespan. So it captures it. It's in jail for 50 years, you might say, where a lot of things like the Epsom salts might pull out some toxins, but you're sitting there floating in the water with toxins. So I feel safer with the clay knowing that it's going to not only pull them out, but dispose of them. So it takes out the trash. Yeah. And it has so many other benefits as well. The pH factor is very important to our bodies. And so, okay? And
okay,
thank
great.
You for
thank
asking.
You.
Thank you for being honest and asking. That's the most important thing today.
Sorry, I got your seminars mixed up. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. You know, there are no accidents. There must have been a message here for both of us. Thank you, Emma. Bye-bye. All right. Well, you know, clay dominates. We do have that. We have another question somebody typed in about clay, and usually I go back and email them, but she didn't leave her email address. So she says, it's from Bonnie, and she says, hi, can a toddler take clay internally? Yes, ma'am. You just give them about a teaspoon and some apple juice or their water. Because it's a little chalky, it's better if you put it in apple juice. You don't want a strong acidic juice, so a fruit juice or something like that. Just give them a teaspoon of the liquid clay and put it in there. It should help with their digestive system to calm colic. And then they can take it, you know, a couple of times a day if they need it. But usually the times they get colicky, try giving them a little clay in their juice with some juice. Okay? Thank you. All right. Well, that looks like it for about now. Our time is just about up, and I'm running out of things to say. So be conscious of telling little white lies. Just notice when you're saying them and why. Understand the reason. But next month, I want you to come for my friend Jody Kaler. She is a professional speaker and does a lot of carpet trainings. And she has sent me her topic next month is going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. Communication tools for communicating with a mate, a friend, a family member, a colleague, or just yourself. And she gives us tools to work with to help us in communication. You know, we get it, we lose it, we get it again. And if we have some tools for practicing it, we really hang in there with a little better. And one of the tools is 3 questions to ask when things are getting wonky. Telling an unarguable truth. The value of appreciation. And the best communication aphrodisiac and the reliable formula that will turn you off. So be sure and tune in next month to get these tools and learn more about Jody Kaler, you can go to www.jodykaler.com. Jody is she bills herself as an improviser of created solutions, and she works with a lot of corporate officers and management and doing a lot of training, but she's also a humor speaker with a lot of wisdom. I love Jody, and I wouldn't bring her on if I didn't think it wouldn't be a benefit to all of us. So I'd love to share her with you with our next in August, at our meeting in August on August the 18th. So I hope you'll come back and join us again. Thank all of you for listening in. Happiness is your choice. Go have a wonderful, happy, honest day and weekend. And practice being honest and speaking your feelings. And remember, the way other people respond is not your problem. You are honest. They ask your opinion, give it to them. And if they take it wrong and they get mad and want to argue about it, maybe that they're not the person you need to deal with. Just let them take their little ball of yarn and deal with it. And you can always say, well, I'm sorry you saw it that way. You asked me my opinion, and this was strictly how I feel, and you don't have to wear the shoes if you don't want to. So just own it and be responsible. Have a wonderful weekend, and try that connecting exercise and sending love to people. It's a wonderful thing to do, and we can send love to all the families of the police officers in Dallas and everything that's been going on there. You can send it to anyone, and there's a lot of chaos out in the world today. So love is the healer. Love is the answer. This is Perrier signing out and wishing you a wonderful weekend.